This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Former Russian President Boris Yeltsin has died. He was 76. Yeltsin was the first Russian president to be freely elected, and in the early 1990s, he was hailed as a bold political reformer. His support eroded over the years, both because of his public actions and his personal behavior. Yeltsin presided over a Russia that saw the growth of democratic institutions and capitalist markets, but suffered the looting of state industries as they were privatized.
Yeltsin's successor, President Vladimir Putin, spoke late today on Russian television. A man passed away, Putin said, thanks to whom a whole new epoch was born. A new democratic Russia was born, a free state open to the world, a state in which power truly belongs to the people.
The last Soviet president, Mikhail Gorbachev, today described Yeltsin as a person, and these are his words, on whose shoulders are both great deeds for the country and serious errors. Just ahead, a view of Yeltsin's legacy from Strobe Talbot, the former Clinton administration advisor on Russia. First, NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports on Yeltsin's career.
There are some images of Boris Yeltsin that remain etched in our minds. This is August 1991. A vigorous Yeltsin leaps on a tank after a coup attempt by communist hardliners. Yeltsin tells the cheering crowd here that he had been fielding calls from around the world, congratulating Russians for taking a stand for democracy. Within a few years, the world would come to see a different Yeltsin, his drunken bouts, as when he picked up a baton and started conducting a band during a trip to Germany. Then there were the repeated trips to the hospital, where Yeltsin recovered from heart bypass surgery, pneumonia, or, as the Kremlin often said, a simple cold. One constant in Yeltsin's life was his keen sense of political drama. He knew how to grab headlines. It was fitting, then, that he chose the last day of 1999 to tell the world he was quitting politics.
I am leaving. I'm stepping down before my time. I understand that I have to do this. Russia must enter the new millennium with new politicians, new faces, and intelligent, strong, and energetic people. Those of us who have been in power for many years must go.
By the time he made that speech, Boris Yeltsin looked much like the old, stiff Soviet leaders of the past. He had trouble speaking and walking. His family and close advisors were accused of taking kickbacks, and he was blamed for allowing a small group of influential oligarchs to rob the country. Biographer Lilia Shevsova says Yeltsin built up vast powers, which he handed over to Vladimir Putin in exchange for guarantees that he would never be prosecuted.
He began as a terminator of the Soviet system. He began as a gravedigger. But how he finished? He ended being a helpless, inadequate, pathetic old man, hostage of the close Kremlin entourage and of his own family, a kind of a puppet on the string manipulated by his daughter, a very dramatic and even tragic personality.
Boris Yeltsin, a construction boss from the central region of Sverdlovsk, spent much of his early career rising through the ranks of the Communist Party. He moved to Moscow in 1985, but soon fell out with Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev. Yeltsin lost his party rank and then went on to enter parliament on a populist platform. In 1991, he became Russia's first democratically elected president and oversaw the dismantling of the Soviet Union. But his democratic credentials were quickly tested. By 1993, Yeltsin's political battle with parliament turned violent. When lawmakers barricaded themselves in parliament, refusing Yeltsin's attempts to disband the Soviet-era body, Yeltsin ordered in the tanks. The White House, as the parliament building was called, was blackened. Scores of protesters died in the violence. Later, Yeltsin sent troops to quell a separatist movement in Chechnya. The defense minister had predicted a quick victory, but what Yeltsin got instead was a two-year war that Moscow lost. Tens of thousands were killed. Russian troops returned to Chechnya in 1999, just before Yeltsin left office. In an interview about his memoirs, Boris Yeltsin called Chechnya his biggest mistake.
Of course, nobody can lift the burden of responsibility for Chechnya from me. That responsibility, the grief of so many mothers and fathers, can't be lifted from my shoulders.
Mindful of his legacy, Yeltsin often tried to highlight his successes, saying he put Russia on a path toward democracy and helped Russia maintain its place in the world. But as he left office, he acknowledged his failures.
Я хочу попросить у вас прощения.
I want to ask your forgiveness for the fact that our dreams didn't come true. Things that seemed simple turned out to be excruciatingly difficult. Forgive me for the fact that I did not live up to the hopes of many, that we could move forward in one fell swoop from a gray, totalitarian and stagnant past to a bright, rich and civilized future. I myself believed we could, but it didn't work out that way.
Boris Yeltsin quickly faded from the scene after retirement, secluded in his government mansion outside Moscow. Some of his accomplishments also faded quickly. The free press he proudly promoted was muzzled, and the Kremlin asserted control over independent television stations. Historians are still debating Yeltsin's legacy, whether his communist upbringing limited his understanding of how to run a democracy. Biographer Lilia Shevtsova says Yeltsin was full of paradoxes.
He had this controversy, contradiction in him. He belonged to the past, and at the same time, he symbolized the future. And of course, he was torn between these two alternatives. That's why he was so good at dismantling the Soviet system, and that's why he was so bad at building a new system.
And without a new legal framework firmly in place, it was easier for his appointed successor, Vladimir Putin, to reassert control over the country's resources and civil society. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News.